drugs.
Even though I suggested this time, I'm tired because I stay up too late watching movies.
Yes, I've seen the video of that. The famous that actually won you a prize. That video of you staying up late. So good things come.
It did. It's truth in cinema. It's realism is what wins you prizes.
Shall we get into the show? Episode 45.
Are you already up to 45 of these?
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Can we talk about how the number 45 has been ruined forever?
Well, it's just going to be expired next week when we're at 46. But I'm doing a mostly weekly show. I guess the numbers go up pretty fast.
Sure.
Soon we'll be having anniversary shows. Wow. Fitty. So anyway, okay, well, we have two guests. Imagine that. We have Dave Eves.
Hello.
Hello, Dave.
Hi. And how's it going?
Commander Beamish. Hey, Jason.
Hello. How are you?
So we're going to talk about Criterion stuff. We're actually going to get into was it GWPAPST or GWPAPST?
I like GWPAPST.
Is that a good joke? Is that a
I'll run with that. That's GWA? An audio only joke.
No, this is actually this is video a video joke.
A video joke. I it's one that you couldn't do in the written form. Is what I'm going to say.
That's a good point. Fair. I get the distinction. So GWPAPST is going to be a topic. So we're going to I cheated a little bit, but we're going to talk about I think it's Camera Shaft and West Front 1918, but I didn't get to all of that. So we'll
Aaron,
do
that. It's Kamradschaft.
Oh, good job.
There's a D in it. I thought that movie was going to be about a camera, and I was wrong.
It was actually about a camera in a shaft, and that's what
technically
threw me off too.
Technically speaking, all movies are about a camera in some way, shape, or form.
In a shaft, though.
There were lots of cameras and lots of shafts.
Yeah.
Although I think a lot of those were actually studios. I didn't watch the supplements, so we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yes.
So let me introduce you guys. So we have Dave Eves. Hello, Dave.
Hello again and again.
Hello again and again and again. That's all we're going to do is just introduce ourselves.
The whole episode show. Of introductions.
I think that'll people love introductions.
It's
and
the best
so
part
Jason,
of any episode, honestly.
Oh well, sorry, Dave. Do you want to introduce yourself or talk?
Oh sure, I'll
talk about anything.
You know what? It's my pleasure and honor to talk about myself for the entire duration of this episode. I'm Dave. I've been here before, and I'm here again.
All right.
I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. I'm sure you'll ask me what I've been doing later.
I'm not. What have you been?
Are we skipping that? I'm really behind in your episodes.
You're just doing that. You just got to tell us.
I just have to tell you. All right. I'll just be very blatant in my self-promotion. I frequently guest on podcasts just like this one. My most recent podcast appearance was on, I'm sure, a show that many of your listeners are familiar with, Wrong Reel, with James Hancock. And I was talking with him about Luis Buñuel films, another Criterion connection there, because most of them were on Criterion, but now most of them are out of print. So we focused on the films that were in that new Studio Canal Region B box set, which I bought despite my dislike for Studio Canal and how they took the rights back from Criterion and some of my favorite films. But whatever, you know, I'll live.
And we'll be talking some Buñuel later.
Perfect.
Jason.
Hello.
Jason Beamish, Film Ruminations. What have you been up to?
Well, I've been writing at Film Ruminations. I watch a lot of movies, depending on who you ask, too many.
Never.
I agree with that. I am an infrequent podcast guest. I have been here before. I just finished recording a couple short films with David Blakesley for Criterion Reflections. That'll probably be out sometime. I don't know.
I'll be on that episode too.
Oh, wonderful.
I will not.
Oh, man.
I wasn't there.
Man. Yeah, it sounds like you actually recorded short films. I think you're talking about short summaries of short films.
Well, yes, we did not make any short films.
Amazing.
That'd be fun.
It's not too late.
They wouldn't be any good.
You don't know
it's
that.
Not your fault, not David's fault, but
you're
a little far apart.
I made a delightful short film using pancakes a couple years ago, so I'm not sure what you're talking about. But
now, was pancakes the medium, or was it about pancakes?
It was pancakes were the medium.
Ooh.
It was a stop motion.
Okay, I'm interested.
It was a stop motion pancake film about Pac-Man.
Okay.
Okay. So, all right.
Did you eat the pancakes when it was all said and done?
No, they were gross because we had touched them a lot. We had other pancakes.
That doesn't stop me from eating pancakes beforehand. Or pancakes.
Well,
I don't know what is happening here.
Is this the fastest one of these shows has gone off the rails?
Yeah.
Perfect.
I think there's something was in those pancakes. So, welcome, gentlemen. Big news for us. We launched a Patreon. So it may sound like we're whoring for money, which I guess in fairness, we kind of are. We're asking people to support the show if they like the show. But we're going to put that back into the show. We have a couple reward levels, one of which is going to be banter that we normally cut out. So we made the joke that you get to hear the pee breaks, and I know that might not sound exciting, but we have a lot of great conversations during pee breaks. So you're not going to hear the pee. You might hear a little silence, but a lot of times we'll come back on the show and talk about whatever, which we have to cut out because it's too random. People would be like, okay, why are they talking about pancakes? Which of course we just did. So there's a $1, $3, and $5 level. The $3 is you get these shows immediately after we record them. So we're recording on Saturday. There's some football game tomorrow, so we won't put the show up tomorrow, probably later in the week. But the people that support the Patreon will get the show today. And also, we're going to give away free discs. We're going to do some bonus episodes. So, yeah, fun stuff if you want to support us. And if you don't, that's fine, too. So, yeah.
Go ahead. Dave.
Okay, I'll go first. I was going to say, Aaron, if you're going to whore yourself out, at least you're a cheap date.
I am. $5. $5 full. Oh, boy.
Oh, dear.
Never mind. Could go take that in some directions. What were you going to say, Jason?
Well, I just wanted to say congratulations to One of Two Cities.
It might be Philadelphia. Yes, it better be Philadelphia. Although I will say, if we win, this may be one of the last recordings of anyone from Philadelphia. Because if we win, all that will be left is a crater in the ground.
So here's a paradox. So the people listening on Patreon don't know who won.
Ooh.
But the people listening to the episode do. So
I'm just going to preemptively say congratulations, Eagles, on your triumphant victory over the Patriots. I've never seen a game so one-sided. In fact, the Patriots scored negative points. It's never happened before.
You could sound like an idiot. Yeah, well.
The great thing about being from Philly is you never sound like an idiot if you always sound like an idiot.
Philly didn't come off too well. But anyway, enough football. We have a lot of Criterion stuff. So anyway, Patreon, it's a way to support shows. And when we are going to put it back into the show, I want to get us and our guests some new equipment. So this will help with that. Mm-hmm. And I would like to get like a publicist. If anybody knows a publicist that is affordable in Patreon dollars, it'll get big guests. Not a publicist, but what do they call those people that find people?
Are you looking for somebody that finds guests?
Yes.
That's like telling us that we are not good enough.
Well, you're great, but we can't keep rotating the same 10 guests.
Looking for a higher caliber. No, I understand.
Well, occasionally, actually. I actually don't like to do those all the time, but anyway.
Well, Aaron, when you get your publicist, tell your publicist to contact my agent, and then we'll talk.
Yeah, we might need to pay you for your time.
It's very valuable.
Now, all of our guests are going to say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't do it. $5. So anyway, now we'll get to the show stuff. Last week we had our Arrow Now, our second one, which and Dave, you kicked that ship off with the first one. Yes, you took that bottle and broke it across the bow. And so the second one was with our friends Tim Lego and my other guest RJ Tugas. So somebody might get a surprise. So anyway, we had a good time talking about Arrow, and they were nice enough to retweet us. So that was nice. I think they enjoyed the episode. Had a lot of fun. We'll do that again in a few months, and maybe like a quarterly kind of show. And also on the Patreon, I think some of the bonus episodes we'll talk about other home media stuff, like maybe other labels, maybe Indicator or Masters of Cinema, stuff like that. So anyway, enough about that. But I did want to address the Carrie issue, and I don't think you guys heard it, but one thing that came up was I hadn't received Carrie; it was lost in the mail.
Uh-oh.
And I think I mentioned that Arrow does have really good service. So I reached out to them, and they said they did some digging and said, yeah, you know what? It's lost. It was the first time. And so they said, well, you know what? We reserved a few copies. It sold out. This was limited edition, so it's gone. But this could happen. So they'd reserved a few copies. Now, everybody don't call up Arrow and say your carry was lost. That would be unethical. And probably you might be screwed, too, because they don't have that many copies. But they are sending me a new one. So thank you, Arrow, for that. And so that's that. Any thoughts about Arrow before I move on?
Love it.
Me too.
Big fan.
It's expensive to have that habit as well as a Criterion habit, but I am glad that I have both Carrie and The Apartment sitting on my shelf.
It's like, all right, so heroin is great, but let's add a little bit of cocaine. And so we have
pretty much how it is.
And here I'm advocating drug use. I'm not, it's a metaphor for discs. So anyway, what we've been doing since the beginning of the year, we're already in February, believe it or not, or February as we're calling it. And so we've been having people talk about their favorite releases of last year. So if you gentlemen want to just give a couple of your favorites from last two, don't give me a 20 title list. And I'll start alphabetically. How about Mr. Eves?
Oh, me. I'm going to issue box sets because I almost think that's unfair. Even though there were some great ones last year, I'm going to say my two favorite single disc releases were Stalker, just because I was so glad to finally have that on Blu-ray, and Ozu's Good Morning, because that really blew me out of the water, and I really loved that film.
Good choices. I still haven't watched my Stalker. I think I've talked about them on the show, but I will. Beamish, what do you say?
Three Criterions made my top 15 of the year. One was the Olympic set, so that was just great. But Tampopo and Black Girl were just, they killed
me. Oh, good. Good choices. Good. Matt would be happy, and I'm happy about Black Girl.
Yeah.
I'm already filling my bladder. You know, I think this Patreon is, and how great our pee breaks is, I think, like,
it's going to encourage more pee breaks?
I think my bladder is, like, evolving to shrink just because it's so good.
I'm not sure you understand how evolving works. It takes a little more time than that.
Not 12 minutes and 48 seconds?
No. Okay. I mean, maybe, but...
Well, that's a mutation.
Maybe I just drank too much. Maybe this is a pee break X-Men. Talk about the lamest superpower ever. So, yes, more to come during the pee breaks. I talked about my favorite releases ad nauseum. So you want to get into some Criterion stuff?
Sure. Why not?
All right. Well, we just had the end of our January releases, which was the Claude Autant Lara set, the Eclipse set 45 about occupied France, and then we had our Guap Paps set, not really a set, but duo releases, and those came out this week. And then coming out next week is Elevator to the Gallows, which a certain someone I know saw that in New York, but I'm not going to start with that person. Mr. Beamish, yeah. What do you have to say? And forget about Gwip Pabst, we'll get to him.
Sure.
But Lara and Mal, what do you think of these two titles?
Well, I haven't seen Elevator to the Gallows. And I'm sorry. And
it's really good.
It is good, yeah.
No doubt in my mind that it is. And the other guy, wasn't he a Holocaust denier?
I think we've talked about this on like 10 shows. He was apparently a Holocaust denier.
So I'm good at waiting.
Allegedly, maybe.
I'm good waiting on that. That's not very exciting, though. I do want to watch Elevator to the Gallows. I just haven't had a chance.
So the people that might be on the fence, and I do advocate for Criterion and Eclipse sets. I think it's great that they're coming back.
Absolutely.
But if you can't get around that, they are adding those to Filmstruck. I think it's next week. So if you want to just buy it on the stream,
he's dead, right?
Yeah.
I don't have a problem supporting them after they're dead because they're not going to get any money.
That's true. Their estate might.
Yeah, and that's fine. Their kids can.
Yeah, but as long as their kids are not denying Holocaust or
I guess I should do more research.
Yeah, or just we'll have the kids on the show and ask them their opinions. So, Dave, what do you think about these four or two? So which we're going to get into the other two.
So I try to avoid buying DVDs. I'd like to go more so for Blu-ray. I know Eclipse is probably never going to go Blu-ray, but for whatever reason, I haven't jumped on that bandwagon yet, so I'll be fine checking those out on Filmstruck when they hit that. Elevated to the Gallows is pre-ordered on Amazon, so I'll probably see that by, what, April? If my city still exists, it'll be dropped into the hole where my house used to be.
Yeah, it might just be enveloped in a sea of Crisco.
Oh, God.
Philly people know what I'm talking about.
Crisco cops.
Well, yeah, but I do remember Elevated to the Gallows was playing at Film Forum, and you went and saw it.
I would
have liked to. I think I can get my wife to watch this. I think just having been in New York while it was playing is enough to pique her interest. So yeah, I think a pretty good slate. And then just after that, we have some big ones. We have the Silence of the Lambs and Night of the Living Dead, which actually I just saw today are $18 on Amazon.
Ooh, I got a pre-order one of them.
Patreon listeners, today's Saturday. Other people, it might not be. It might be 27.
I'm gonna pull an Aaron West and order those now.
Hey, I'm already cool. Way ahead of you here. I need to figure out which one I already pre-ordered and then pre-order the other one though.
Well, sure.
Cool. Play by play. Order them. Then we had a newsletter clue, which are always fun. And this one was a rock and meat. It was a big boulder and it looked like a big ham. And that's kind of gives it away. This was, even though it's a weird clue, it seems pretty obvious. I don't know a lot of meat rock fans films. I did see somebody, it was either Blu-ray.com or Criterion Forum, was trying to make the argument that it was Spinal Tap, which I think that was a bit of a reach. I think his evidence was that one of the hats in Spinal Tap had West Ham or some soccer team, football team. So that's, yeah, kind of a stretch. And then I guess Bull, it's kind of Bull. You guys are both ordering discs now, aren't you?
I already ordered it. We're good. I'm back here.
All right. So what do you think? Bull Durham, is that the consensus here?
I was hoping that it could be the first Criterion-produced movie starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson and John Hamm. But it's probably going to be Bull Durham, which I just don't care about. I've never seen the movie, but I already know everything that's going to happen in that movie. I don't know.
Oh, Dave.
it's got Kevin Costner. It's got Tim Robbins. It's got Susan Sarandon. What more? What more do I need to know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. So you're judging a movie before you've
I'm
seen it?
I'm judging a book by its cover. Yes.
You are.
But you haven't seen the cover yet.
I'm assuming the cover is going to be The Rock and the Ham.
Well,
what
I
else is it going for? I hope so too.
They should do Jason Pollan covers. That would be, I think that would be pretty cool. Jason, do you have any strong feelings or about Bull Durham?
I remember not strong? My parents not letting me watch that. I guess I never went against their wishes. I have not watched it.
You got really? A bit of a forbidden fruit thing going for it now, though.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So in Dave's, or not Dave, but Doug speak, I've seen this 20 times. It's not literally 20 times, but it's one of those that has just been around. And yeah, I'm surprised that you guys have gone through life and missed out on seeing Bull Durham.
I'm probably seeing bits and pieces because I feel like it's one of those movies that played 30 times a day on TNT in the 90s.
That's how I've seen it 20 times. And the thing is, I do like it. It's... I'm not going to say it's a masterpiece. I'm not going to put it up there with Citizen Kane, but it's very watchable, and it's one of those that you could put on in the middle and be like, oh, yeah, I'll just chill. This is good. But I think the argument is it art, or there's Citizen Kane or, say, Bergman, and then there's Jellyfish Eyes. You know, where is this on the spectrum? I'm okay with it. I think it's a good movie. I guess you guys don't know.
I don't know. I'll still buy it. What am I going to... Who am I talking?
Yeah.
I'll watch it when I buy it.
You were talking to me, and we buy Criterions.
Exactly.
So, do you like baseball movies?
Yeah. I also like... I also really like Kevin Costner movies. So, I know...
That was very unenthusiastic. Wait, okay. There's For the Love of the Game and this... Oh, and...
Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams, yeah. So, okay.
That I saw in Doug Speak 20 times. So...
I've actually seen that less than I've seen Bull Durham, but maybe they should come out with a Kevin Costner baseball movie box set.
Maybe that's what this was a clue for. If they build it, we will buy it.
we will come. Yeah, okay. So Bull Durham coming to a Criterion near you. And what's very exciting, I just can't help but be like there's something new every day. So Bergman 100. I'm pretty sure it's happening. Again, this is all, you know, irresponsible speculation on our part, and we've been speculating now for probably a good 6 months. But Janus added several web pages or several titles to their catalog. The most notable, I think, to me at least, were Shame, The Passion of Anna, and Hour of the Wolf. There were some others too, lesser known titles, but you know, Indie Bergman is interesting to me. I don't think Dave, you don't care, right?
I hope that the microphone hasn't picked up my frothing at the mouth too much about like the possibility of this box set. That I'm
is this
prepared.
Like the people in Brain Damage?
Yeah, I am just so prepared to drop so much money on however this much costs.
And then there's also a poster that was just added to the Criterion Store, and it is called, I don't have it open.
Hold on, I'm it's opening called, it right now.
It's called Centennial something.
I can look at my order history because I ordered it last night. It's already on back order.
It is, yeah. I ordered it this morning. Ingmar Bergman's Cinema Centennial Retrospective. So, and the cover is Persona, a little kid with a hand against a person. Where would they get that from?
I've never seen that anywhere before.
I don't see that every day of my life. So, yeah, I guess that's a pretty choice image. They're stealing from from the show. So, well, Beamish, Jason, how are you? Do you like Mr. Bergman?
Do I even
need to ask?
I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the speculation. I mean, listen, everybody that's recording right now on this program is going to buy it.
Anything that it is, yes.
Yeah. I have all of the current Criterion Bergmans, and I have the movies that you've just discussed from the MGM box, but I'm cool, you know, getting that in a sale at the very least.
Yeah, I don't think I'm waiting for a sale. This is, you know, usually the Amazon prices are not too much more expensive.
Well, if I might add even more speculation to the fire.
Let's add.
I'm going to say that if this is coming out, it's going to come out in July during the Barnes & Noble sale because that's when Ingmar Bergman's birthday is.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I think that's pretty spot on. And I think that's what we've pretty much assumed. We speculate every week, and I think I've been saying the same thing. So is it a box? Are these going to be individual titles? Are they going to be multiple boxes? So let's speculate. Let's be irresponsible.
It's
going to
be a cargo crate of discs.
A cargo crate. Okay, so if you need like shelf space, you need a new house for this.
You could live in this box set.
it doubles as a house. Mm-hmm. You have to get a line of credit. So Dave, seriously, what do you think this really is? You're pretty informed.
Me? I'm informed? It better be a big-ass Blu-ray box set of, like, everything. Of all 30 movies in the retrospective, I don't care if I'm double-dipping on half of them. I want it. I want it on my shelf.
But do you think... So, just realistic speculation, do you think that's what it'll be?
Yes.
I think so too. What do you think, Jason?
I hope so. I like pretty boxes.
I like pretty boxes too. And really, if you think about Janus films, I mean, they go back a long time, and Bergman has been really one of their cornerstones. You know, Bergman, Fellini, I guess Renoir. Those are
Kurosawa, you know, maybe, which they did this for Kurosawa a few years back, which is part of the speculation.
Yeah, and I think Kurosawa and Bergman are probably the two titans. Yeah. Would you say if you're going to do a Mount Rushmore of Criterion, probably those two would be the middle two faces?
I think those two have the most current Criterion releases too.
Well, without a doubt.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I love that Mount Rushmore of Criterion releases. What? Okay, I'm going to chew on that for a while.
That could be your next question for all your guests. Who would be the four faces on Criterion Mount Rushmore?
It's a poll, Dave. It's a poll.
There we go.
Love polls. All right. So yeah, the poster too. The poster is nice. I think I kind of like the image on. I'm not biased towards the show, but I just like the image from the show. It's a little more with the darker black, but still, I think it's pretty cool. I ordered it. Did you buy it, Jason?
I did. Well, I backordered it, I should say.
Yeah, they probably sold out pretty quick. That's a great sign. Buy that poster and Criterion Bergman might come. Although I think whatever is in the works is already in the works. So anyway, I hope that's what's happening. So another thing, speaking of posters, the Criterion Store added postcards. And so I have a little quibble here. They've added 2016 and 2017, and I have 2016 in my hand, and it is awesome. I paid the $15 and the $5 shipping because I thought, you know what, why not? It's worth it. Then they released the poster. I bought that. And then when I was prepping for the show, I saw that they have 2017 out. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
So I saw, and I saw it just after I bought the poster, and I was like, oh man, I could have said, if I buy three items, that's like $15 towards shipping. So did you guys order the postcards? Do you think this is interesting, or is this just another way of pulling money out of our wallets?
It's a good way of pulling money out of our wallets, because I'm sure lots of people are going to do it. If I had a better place to display them, I would totally get these. I just don't have any more wall space for little postcards.
You know, I'm just flipping through mine. I would love to just send these to family. Like, hey, Auntie, here's Carnival of Souls. Here, Grandma, Valley of the Dolls.
Why doesn't my family speak to me anymore? I keep sending them postcards.
That's how you can get your family to stop speaking to you, is send them these postcards. Ooh, there's a
damn it,
one.
Nephew, I sent you the Road Trilogy. Give me a call. I think they're cool. I'm almost afraid to touch it. Have yours arrived yet?
I haven't bought them.
I have not bought them.
Oh, okay. Wait. Okay, well, I guess, are you going to wait for a sale? Because I bought them because I didn't want them to sell out. I thought that everybody's buying them.
That's actually a good point. Maybe I should. I kind of wish that I had remembered about that, like you said, when I was buying my Bergman poster last night, because I could have potentially gotten free shipping.
So that's, now you can buy the poster and both postcard sets, and you'll get free shipping. So if you go the Aaron route, you're out $15. If you go with the post Criterion Now route, you're free.
I might add them to a flash sale purchase if there is a flash sale in the next couple of weeks, which there most likely will be.
Yeah, we actually haven't talked. So you think there is going to be a flash sale?
Historically, I'm going to actually say it's going to be the same day that Night of the Living Dead and Silence of the Lambs comes out.
That's the consensus, yeah. So I agree with you. Yeah, so is that stock up time for you guys?
I'll buy a few. Right now, I'm 79 points away from another gift certificate. So,
oh, you got to buy like $79 worth of stuff then.
Yep. And then $50 worth of stuff the next day.
Exactly. Yeah, I actually have a gift certificate sitting in my pocket, which I should have used on these posters. But I thought, hey, there's a flash sale coming. I'll just use it there.
I missed last year, or 2 years ago, I guess, they did double points on gift cards.
Yeah, that was towards the end of
last year?
It was
for Christmas, 2016.
Yeah, I did. I didn't participate last year, but I did the year before.
Well, I didn't do it last year.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Jason.
Oh, I was bummed out.
Time is a flat circle. I forgot. yeah, how did Criterion do that? Well, I think the time when they did it before, they had a little trouble with it because I remember they had to manually add orders. Working in business, the idea of manual work in 2018 is kind of unpopular. All right, so the flash sale, hopefully coming. All right, so GWPABST, GW Pabst, Kameradschaft, is that right?
Kameradschaft.
Comradeship.
Yeah.
Right, that's the definition. And then Westfront 1918, which is about the Vor. So I started Westfront in 1918, but I had a short week, had a lot to do, had some work, boring work sucks. Actually, I love my job. What am I saying? Westfront 1918 that's a tough weekday movie for me, at least. I don't know about you guys.
You don't like to wind down in the middle of your week with a nice film about one of the most horrific wars ever fought?
And about the brutality of being in the trenches, your life's on the line. Actually, that kind of sounds exciting. But
weirdo.
So I watched like about the first 30 minutes, and I realized that if I just, and I would have had to watch it like episodically, and I don't think that's a movie that lends itself to.
Nah, not so much.
Six iterations, six chapters. So what'd you guys think?
I really liked it. I thought it was a really great film. I thought it was very interesting that it showcased so much of just kind of like normal life to a degree. It's showing these people having fun, laughing, between being in the trenches, which I think brings a nice sense of levity and also kind of grounds it a little bit more when horrific things do happen, because we've seen these people as not just being terrible monsters. And I mean, honestly, the German people in war movies of this type are often cast as the villains, and you kind of just feel bad for them here. I will say that it does, not to say that it sounds like a bit of a repeat, but I know that it's very similar to All Quiet on the Western Front.
I was thinking that too.
Yeah, it's hard not to make comparisons.
Iconic German, and I think they take, and I don't know if West Front 1918 does take on the German propaganda and the way that All Quiet does, but
not so much.
It certainly humanizes.
But it was labeled by the Nazis 3 years after it came out as being anti-war propaganda, because this is a pretty...
It was
removed from circulation and deemed inappropriate for the German people because it promoted pacifism.
And in 1932, that or 30, I think, is when this one came out.
This came out in 30, and the Nazis took over in 1933. And I thought it's just, both of these films just feel like such like little time capsules of such a specific point in time in German history before the Nazis took over, where they're still looking back at World War One and saying, look at how terrible this was. Let's try not to do this again, please. And it did not turn out that way.
And, you know, I've seen a lot of World War One movies, and boy, they're actually excellent. I don't know what it is. I'm not just going to make a blanket statement that one war movie is better than another, but it feels like the quality is pretty high. You know, Paths of Glory, and now I can't remember many, but
I feel like
Jason.
Go ahead. Sorry, I'm babbling.
It's the debut show.
It is the debut
show. No, actually, I appreciate your takes, but Jason, did you like it?
I did. I was trying to find a little information here about where this falls in World War II war movies. But this being Pabst, at least, first sound feature, I think the idea of bringing sound into a war-torn area in cinema might have had a pretty big effect, a pretty gruesome effect, especially, Dave, if you could attest to that, the big battle scene.
Oh man.
The sound, there was one explosion where they really did go out of their way to record the sound of the debris hitting the ground.
Can you imagine 1930? That was probably like cataclysmic, probably a big deal
for a lot of people, I'm sure.
I find it very interesting that there's some parts of the film where it's actually like no picture, where you're just kind of hearing like the sounds of war after the images faded out. I thought that was very interesting for an early sound film like this.
I'm actually going to watch it this weekend. So after the show, when the show comes out edited, I'll have some thoughts. But did you guys get to watch the supplement with the soldiers from the war and reacting to it? I think Matt had mentioned that a few episodes ago.
I'm going to check that out.
Okay. I was actually curious about that, just to see, and not to exploit them, but to see, one, how accurate it is, and also how what it meant to them. You know, I think, like you said, Dave, it humanizes them a little bit, shows that they have moments of levity. And then this is after World War II, when they're villainized, and I think rightfully. I think the Nazi Party was terrible, and I'm not going to ever defend the Nazi Party, but they're probably that's one thing, you know, when you think about nations, you know, here we go. I was about to get into politics. We have an unpopular president, but that doesn't mean we're all dicks, right?
Mm-hmm. This is so. It's just very, very interesting to see this perspective.
Yeah, I am a fan of the war movies from the other side. One of my favorite war movies is The Bridge.
Great one. It's good.
You don't, you know, growing up as an American, you know, Red, White, and Blue, you know, Saving Private Ryan, all the John Wayne movies, it's always the Americans that are right and anybody else is wrong. And just to be able to see it from the other side, from the other perspective, I think is incredibly valuable.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great example. And by the way, it's in case anybody is confused at this point and they're Googling GWA, like G-W-A, his name is George Wilhelm Pabst, G.W. Pabst. He's kind of a big deal, and I think these two releases are kind of a big deal, too. These are maybe lesser known than, say, Pandora's Box, but he definitely he has a I don't know what word I'm looking for, but he has an aesthetic. It's actually it's more bombastic, no pun intended, than I expected. You know, these are pretty well. Again, no pun intended. Explosive movies, literally.
Oh, dear Lord.
So I did not mean to. So anyway, say it, Dave.
Kameradschaft.
Boy, that's good. That's good. So
guten Tag,
this is
wie geht es Ihnen?
Really? Do you speak German? Or?
Nein, ich so gut.
So you just speak German.
Yeah.
Fake German.
We can start conversations, but we cannot finish them.
Ich kann nicht spreche Deutsch.
Yeah, my wife speaks Deutsch very, very, very well, and she actually chastises me every time I have a Deutsch title and I don't consult with her for pronunciation. So if it bothers you guys, just imagine this household. So camaraderie or whatever.
Comradeship.
Comradeship. This is about miners. I think it's quite a parallel. These pair very well together. So you have trenches going underground, and then you have miners going underground. And this is post-war, and this is after the harsh peace, which Germany had a little bit of a tough time, and there was a lot of resentment, and vice versa, there was a resentment from Europe and especially France for the war. And so we see these cultures clash. And then there's a little bit of, I don't want to spoil things, but the title is Comradeship. So there's a little bit of Marxist element as well. But it's based on a fire in a mine. So, Jason, I'll start with you this time.
Yes,
what was your opinion of Comradeship?
I absolutely love this movie. I had seen, hundreds of war movies, and this is the second miner stuck in a mine movie that I ever seen. And I just thought it was great on so many levels. Special effects were, for its time, very, very good. I mean, for this time, some of the special effects in this movie were very, very good.
Extremely good, yeah.
And I think that they did, Pabst did a great job making you feel like you were also stuck in a mine with the sound design that they had in there.
Yeah, the ticking. It was haunting, actually. The sound is really, really stands out. And the fire. I think they did a great job.
Holy moly.
I hope they didn't mess up. Yeah. What's the other mining movie? You said this is the
Ace
second.
In the Hole.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I forgot about that earlier. In my head, I said this was the best mine movie, but I remembered that one. I like Ace in the Hole.
There's also the documentary, the Harlan County, USA. Wasn't that about mines?
I don't know.
Mining? It's been a while since I saw that. I could sound idiotic, which would just another week.
Neither of us are going to correct you.
Thank you. So, Dave, what did you think of the film?
So it was a 1930s disaster movie, so of course I loved it.
Oh.
It's exactly what I wanted, even though I thought it was going to be about a camera instead of a mine shaft. I will echo what Jason said, that it has amazing special effects for the time. There's one great scene where you're just like, ooh, this is all adding up, where one group of miners is running away saying, fire, fire. And then there's another group of miners running away saying, gas, gas. Like, oh, this is going to explode.
Yeah.
And it's great just kind of seeing, again, the time period that we have here of just this tension between the French and the German. The French mine has the disaster, and the Germans say, we need to go over there and help them, despite the fact that they were our enemies the year before, because they're
right.
Miners, just like us.
They're miners. That's the Marxist element. It's their workers, and I saw that there were some highlights there. So actually that, Nazism and Marxism, communism was not, they were not compatible. So I didn't watch the features to see how this was received, or do you guys know, was this accepted after 1933?
I didn't find out if it was banned at all, but who knows if the Nazis were just like, we're not going to ban it, but maybe don't watch it.
So I thought about The Hole, Latrue, a lot when I was watching this. I know that's a jail movie and this is a mining movie, but I thought just like the periods of silence and the palpable tension, I thought were comparable. And I also thought about Wages of Fear too, even though that's again completely different. But the fact that you're watching this, knowing that it could just combust at any time, and you're, even though they're not driving along a ticking time bomb, really. Yeah, when there's one scene, and this is not a spoiler, but there's one scene where Germans reach a border between the German side of the mine and the French side of the mine, and they're going to go over to the French side. And I thought, oh, shit, they're gonna explode. So yeah, I thought he did a great job with that tension.
And I made the mistake of watching Kameradschaft first. And I'll say a mistake just because I'm pretty sure they used a cut from West Front.
Yeah. The flashback scene looks like it was probably leftover footage from West Front 1918.
I cannot imagine him making, you know, doing anything differently.
Him pitching it to like the producers, like, so it's a mining movie. I need a war flashback scene. So I need $1 million.
Oh boy. There have been a lot of mining movies.
There was the 31, the Antonio Banderas one about the Chilean miners.
Was that?
Is that called the 31?
Matawan, there's Salt of the Earth.
I can't wait for the big Bitcoining mining movie disaster.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be just a lot of people clicking buttons.
Underground and, stuck.
Yeah. but I don't know about you guys, but I think just the concept of being, the idea of being underground is pretty frightening. Like as far as horror films, The Descent is a scary movie to me. Not, I mean, it's a well done movie, but it's more just because that's something that hits one of my phobias. So yeah, I thought that was a pretty powerful film. So well done, Gua. Mm-hmm. And West Front 1918 is probably good.
I think it's very good. And I'll just say, without giving any spoilers away, The end title card, the end, just the way that is presented, you're just like, oh, it's hard to say without saying exactly what happens. But once you watch the movie, you'll know.
So you're saying the movie ends at some point.
It does end. Thanks, Dave. Spoiler warning, thanks. The French win.
Like many wars, it does end. Well, not all of them, but many.
So, of course, this release was a little controversial. I mean, not really. I mean, I think sometimes controversy is invented in our communities. But would you recommend people buy these, both of these? Or some people might buy the Region B release, Master of Cinema, I believe, that has them combined.
Buy them both.
So, yeah.
They're both great films. Both. They're great restorations. Check them out.
Yeah, there is. I mean, I have no doubt when Criterion or anybody is restoring a film that they do absolutely the most that they possibly can. But on Kameradschaft, the right side of the screen looks like it must have been just completely obliterated half the time. Like just the very edge, not the whole half. But
they actually had some problem with the elements, yeah. And it's not. I think the film was lost, and this happens all the time. And there was a couple scenes they skipped. So yeah, they make do.
I think it's worth noting, though. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, fun fact, both of these films are in the now defunct aspect ratio 1.19 to 1.
Yes.
Because in the early sound days, they had to put a strip of the soundtrack next to the image.
Yeah, boy.
So they're super narrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can only imagine. And film was very flammable, which is probably this is dark. Imagine a fire breaking out and they just think it's part of the film. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, dear.
That was,
the 4D experience.
So let's, shall we move on and get into short takes?
Sure.
Let's do it.
You guys ready? Talk about movies we've seen lately. So Dave, have you seen a Criterion any time besides these two?
I've never seen a Criterion in my life. I'm going to cheat a bit and talk about a Criterion movie that I watched on a non-Criterion disc. Is that kosher?
Sure.
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
The rules are very loose here.
Rules are loose. I'm going to talk about Carl Theodor Dreyer's Ordet, which I watched on the BFI Blu-ray because Criterion needs to upgrade this amazing film. I am a huge fan of Dreyer. This is one of my favorites of his, just behind Joan of Arc, which I'm so glad finally got a Blu-ray upgrade. You would not think that a movie that is basically just scenes of two people in a room having a conversation without making eye contact would be so compelling. And it is about a family and basically their misfortunes. And I don't consider myself a terribly religious person, but this is a very religious movie. And even at the end, despite the fact that I don't consider myself super religious, I'm just like blown away and wowed by the message of this film.
It is moving. I'm with you. I love this film.
It's incredible. It's incredible. It's, and I put this on at like midnight last night, and it's an over 2 hour movie. I was riveted the whole time, and I had seen it before, but still.
So that's why you're tired then, because because of Ordet.
But I would have been tired no matter what, because I would have watched something else instead if I didn't watch Ordet. But Ordet, at least, I had a really great time with.
Yeah, boy, Dreyer and his... I love Dreyer. And I saw you made some funnies on Twitter about Dreyer on Dreyer.
Because I had a new Dreyer delivered, so I...
And you really didn't realize that it was spelled wrong? That you've been spelling Dreyer?
Dreyer one tweet that I messed it up with. I'm so used to spelling it as in Dreyer the director that it never in my mind occurred to me that I could ever spell Dreyer the appliance incorrectly.
Boy... You know you're a film nerd when
start. clearly, one has more impact on my life than the other, and it's the director.
Yeah, so this is out in it was on the Criterion or the Carl Theodor Dreyer box set. Mm-hmm. So I think this is not a Studio Canal.
They still have the rights. They're still on Filmstruck.
Yeah, yeah. So I think Dreyer is amazing, and. Yeah, I think, well, we're getting Passion of Joan of Arc. I almost said Passion of the Christ, just because his films are religious. But
and it's amazing just how stylistically different Ordet is from Passion of Joan of Arc. Because Passion of Joan of Arc, all close-ups, very quick cutting. Then you get to this where literally it's like, you can have almost 10-minute takes in this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're right, it is stunning, and it's really just character-driven, dialogue-driven, and sometimes not dialogue-driven, sometimes and what's interesting, I love this movie so much, Gertrude, not as crazy about.
Really? Neither am I. I got to give it another love chance. It. Really?
Really, okay. Oh, well, yeah. if we get the blue, I'll give it another shot, but I still haven't seen Day of Wrath. That's the one I've been holding out for. So.
That one's pretty good,
it's
too.
Okay.
It's all right. All right, Jason, do you have a short take for me?
I do. So a couple days ago, some guy named Dave posted pictures of last year at Marienbad on Twitter that were in color, and it absolutely blew my mind because that movie's not supposed to be in color. It is.
What?
It's its own universe.
They're promotional photos of Delphine Seyrig that were done in color. It'll blow your mind.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. I missed that.
Like what I was saying to Dave is that, you know, Marienbad exists in its own universe where shadows come and go at their own desire and everything is perfect. And so I watched that the other night. Actually, I didn't even watch the Criterion of it because I just got it on Amazon. But I wanted to do a double feature that I don't know how well this is going to go over. A double feature where you actually split one of the movies in half, and that's Carnival of Souls. So you watch half of Carnival of Souls, and then when she's thinking about the resort, you flip over to Marienbad, and then finish off in Carnival of Souls. When I heard watching Marienbad again for the first time in about a year or two, just the intense organ music. My mind immediately went over to Carnival, and the visuals, the fact that they're both otherworldly, it just seemed like a great matchup.
Your proposed double feature sounds like one hell of a fever dream.
Yes,
I know. And what was that thing where you can like put on different eyes and different chin on like a, it's like these little photo books back in the day. There's probably a name for it. Okay. And you get funny faces. Mm-hmm. This could be one of those, like you could interchange parts of those two movies, the score, the scenes. My mind is blown.
I'm awaiting your supercut, Jason. I can't wait to see it on YouTube.
Ooh, I might need to do that.
Can you just add some? Never mind. I was going to say something inappropriate. I'll save that for the editing break.
Okay.
So, liked it? Did that work for you, Jason?
Yeah, I think both on their own are great movies. You know, watching them together, I mean, you're going to have two completely different audiences. But I love them.
Yeah, and your comment again about the color, you know, it is kind of you know, weird to think about, you know, Citizen Kane. People lived in color. It was not all black and white. But if I saw some stills from that film, from, you know, production stills, I would probably be like, wait a minute, that's wrong. That was all black and white.
Yeah, because it was vivid color for Marion.
It was. It was,
and it's such a great shadow. Chiaroscuro.
But it's just like, for Marion Bad, and somewhere in my head, it's like, this is a movie that came from another planet.
Mm-hmm.
So we would not have production stills. I mean,
it wasn't made. We just found it.
Exactly.
Right. It's like divinely incepted into us.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, well, I guess I'll get to mine. And I've been binging the Olympic set, and believe it or not, I'm to 1988.
Whoa, Jesus.
I know. Well, the thing is, they're so easy to watch, and, you know, so we're talking about weekday viewing. You know, I just put one on, and that's one where I can kind of just let the, you know, check the news. You don't have to watch that, most of these, as intently as, you know, as you would. But the one I'm going to talk about today, you won't, in fact, if you're not going to go chronological, if you're just going to cherry pick titles, I would recommend watching White Rock from 1976 first. This is about the Winter Olympics, but this is mind-blowing. It is it's not like any other documentary. It's really barely about the actual Olympics that were taking place. This was the Innsbruck, Austria Olympics in 1976. But basically what it is it's a very visually intense film with James Coburn, it's almost like he's doing a commercial. For Olympic sports. And so what he does is he'll be in front of the camera, and James Coburn is cool as shit. He's just one cool cat. And he basically mansplains how awesome each sport is. Like, you know, okay, we know bobsled, luge, skiing, hockey, they're all badass. But what he does is he'll actually put on the gear. He does the bobsled. That's how the film begins. And then in very much a James Coburn, you know, very intense voice, I cannot do it, James Coburn. I shouldn't even try. This is so cool. You're about to see bobsled, something like that.
It sounds great. Amazing.
And then on top of that, if James Coburn being badass is not enough, the music is by Rick Wakeman from Yes and other bands. So you have this awesome prog soundtrack. And again, there's no Olympics. I don't think we even see a medal ceremony. We just see. So that's why I say watch it first, especially if you don't know much about the Winter Olympics, because you'll learn about every sport. And you'll also learn that there's one scene he's smoking a cigar. He lights up a cigar afterward. He's like, all right, yeah, his. I think that was the luge. I'm just going to chill out and smoke. Anyway, White Rock. Have you guys started the Olympic set yet, or do you have it?
I'm still in 1924.
Okay, well, you have a lot of good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's so great.
I'm absolutely taking my time. I have no interest in rushing this. Plus, in about a week, we have like new in-color Olympics that are happening for the first time. So
not like a last in at Marion Bad Olympics.
No.
So,
no,
that's actually one of the reasons I'm watching these quickly and it's occupying my February is because we're going to do an episode that hopefully will be in time for the Winter Olympics. But you know, there's still a lot to watch. Anyway, are you guys ready for some Filmstruck discussion?
Let's do it.
Yes.
We have a lot here. So the big deal is the UK launch. There is now Filmstruck in the UK, yes. And you know what? I don't know if I'm going to edit that.
That's
but
fine.
Usually I would, but the Patreon listeners are going to get the sneezes. And so anyway, the UK launch. It was launched in the UK, and this is tricky for us because we don't live there. We can't. We kind of feel their pain. They can't see ours. You know, I think Michael even tried a VPN subscription, but that didn't work because it somehow recognized his country. But actually, Michael Hutchins put together a great list of everything that's out on Filmstruck UK, and it's on Letterboxd. It's a pretty good start. A lot of films I've seen, and I'm sure they'll add more. And anyways, obviously we're in America, but we have a lot of UK listeners, and I'll get to that in a second. We have some feedback, but what do you guys think?
I think that's awesome.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Do you really?
Congrats.
Yeah.
No, I want everyone to be able to watch Filmstruck. I'm kind of surprised they went UK before Canada, though.
Yeah, that's a sort of, I think we have more Canadian listeners than UK. I don't know why that is, but yeah, and not that I go around counting, just the people that we interact with. But yeah, I think there were like 80 films. I'd seen 65%, and I think Michael had seen 68%. But they were good films, though. And so I think the people that haven't seen them, that this is a good entry point, and then hopefully they'll do the crazy collections like they're doing here in America. But one of our listeners shared his experience in the group. I think his name is David Seeley. I don't know if you saw that, but he tried to subscribe and had a lot of bad luck. In fact, he tried on Fire TV and had a lot of bugs, and then he tried on his iPad. I think he has an older iPad, and it just wouldn't work because of his iOS. So he's not able to experience it. He did reach out to them, and they did say they're working on it. They said that they had tested it, and it worked, which is not what I would say from a customer service address, but apparently he's out of luck for the meantime. But yeah, any UK listeners, please let us know how it is. Send us screenshots in the Criterion Now group. But Michael actually was able to grab some screens, so that was pretty cool. And yeah, so then, and of course, we're in a new month, so we have the February lineup, and we had some new films. So I think, speaking of Buñuel, there's going to be a Buñuel set, and there's going to be Varda. So, and Wooden Crosses, it's a pretty good month. Did you guys get a chance to look at this?
I kind of glanced through everything. I'm very excited for Luis Buñuel to be on there because, one, it gives people more excuses to listen to that Wrong Reel episode because they can actually watch those films. And two, because there's a film on there that I'd never seen before whose name I'm suddenly drawing a blank on, something about a garden. But yeah, I'm going to be checking that out ASAP. And also, I want to see more Agnès Varda films, so that's another great excuse there.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, so a pretty good month, actually. I think some people had some issues with the January lineup, but, you know, they're just getting back from the holidays, kicking off the year.
I thought the January lineup was good.
Did you? Okay. Yeah. I thought it was fine, too. I think it just wasn't as packed. There was a lot of digital spines and all that. So, all right, well, I guess we'll get to the main channel. Louis Buñuel, speaking of the devil.
Hey.
So we had a main channel Louis Buñuel. And by the way, I have a confession to make. I have not re-upped my Filmstruck yet because I subscribed back in the back last year when it launched for the year, and it's February, so I love Filmstruck, but why give myself incentive to not watch streaming stuff when I'm focusing on the disc? I'm still able to look at the collections, which is cool. Or was it not cool?
That's fine.
I'm disappointed.
All right, so we have a director of the week is Louis Buñuel, and so we have a good collection. We have L'Âge d'Or, we have Death in the Garden. I think that's the one
I was talking about. I'm sorry, I was getting out of turn talking about Filmstruck main channel instead of Criterion channel before.
I think the cool thing about the Criterion channel is it's going to get the out of print stuff, the stuff you talked about. Mm. So that'll be a good fit with your episode.
Exactly.
Belle du Jour, The Milky Way, Simon of the Desert, you know, The Phantom of Liberty, which I love that film. And sorry, Dave, I haven't listened to that Wrong Reel episode, but I will.
You have an excuse now.
Maybe that's a good reason, a good excuse when that Buñuel set comes out, I'll listen to your episode.
There
All right, Dave, I know you like Buñuel, so I'll just ask you quick, any of these you'd highly recommend, you know, watch
outside
first?
Outside of all of them? I'd say if you've never seen a Buñuel film before, the two best ones to go in on, if you want something a little bit more normal, Belle du Jour. If you want to kind of dive in a little bit to the deep end, Discreet Charm of the Bourgeoisie.
Or if you want the wacky, I think The Phantom of Liberty
really want to go into the deep end, Phantom of Liberty.
The thing is, it's funny. It's random. I'm literally random.
Yeah.
But it's funny. So, Jason, you like?
If you want to question your religious belief system, you can watch The Milky Way. He goes all the way.
Haven't seen The Milky Way, so I do question my belief system all the time. And Dave just did, you know, 10 hours ago from Mortes. Yeah, Buñuel is pretty amazing. So yeah, I'm glad that there's some attention to him this month. And then, so it's been 2 weeks because we had the Arrow episode, but the other director was Delbert Mann. So do we have some Delbert Mann fans in the house?
Tell me what he's made, and I'll tell you if I'm a fan.
He made Marty.
Marty?
I've never seen Marty.
Separate Tables. Marty's good. Oh, All Quiet on the Western Front, but not that version. He made the 79 version.
Oh, that's the version that I've seen. Believe it or not. For the longest time, I thought I saw the classic one until I found out later that the one that I watched in history class in ninth grade was the one with Ernest Borgnine and what's-his-face from that TV show from the 70s or the 80s. Or is that the...
That's a little too
what's
vague.
What's-his-face?
Too vague? Yeah, I don't that's, know. Maybe that's not even the 79 version.
Well, it does have Borgnine. I actually haven't seen the 79. I figure I've seen the definitive version. Why see the and it might be good. Was it good, Dave? Do you remember, or is it too long ago?
I remember liking it, so I assumed it was the famous one. It didn't occur to me that it's not in black and white.
it didn't occur to you? That didn't just jump out.
That didn't jump out to me at the time.
Later, that I was like, oh yeah, wait, that was color. Well, and Marty is a big deal. It's Academy. I think Borgnine won that. Yeah, he did win that Oscar for Best Actor, and he is great in it. Kind of the everyman, kind of the schlub. And actually, it's coming out on Masters of Cinema, so we'll talk about that. I haven't seen the other films that he's done. I think they were Middle of the Night, What Makes Sammy Run, Dear Heart, Fitzwillie. Boy, what could that be? And Separate Tables. Then there was a guy I like, and I really wanted to see this feature, but Howard Hawks and the Art of Screwball Comedy. And apparently there's a little special feature from Tony Zhu from Every Picture.
Oh.
Is it Every? So I didn't get to see that. So Howard Hawks and Screwball Comedy, any thoughts?
Love it.
Same here. Great stuff.
Me too.
I saw the 20th Century... last year at the Wexner Center, they played this, and it was really something special to watch on the big screen with a bunch of people.
They showed the film or the Tony Zhu
film, 20th Century.
Okay. Oh yeah, I love 20th Century. It's been a while.
Yeah.
In fact, it might have been the 20th Century when I saw that film. No, actually, it was the 21st. Apparently. I haven't seen Ball of Fire. That's the other. There's His Girl Friday is the big one, mm-hmm. and then Bringing Up Baby, and then Ball of Fire. So, have you guys seen that? Is it worthwhile?
I'm excited to check it out.
All right. Well, me too. And then we have Cinema Passport Belgium. I love when they do this, but I haven't seen a lot of this. You basically could line this with Chantal Ackerman and Dardenne, and you'd be good. But there is a. Jean Dillman, La Promesse, so that was the only Dardenne's. Then Man Bites Dog, Ultra, and Toto the Hero. So what do you think about the Belgians? Jason?
Well, the Belgians themselves are fine. Of those, I've seen Jean Dillman and Man Bites Dog, and they are both very good.
Man Bites Dog is good?
I thought so.
I have mixed feelings on Man Bites Dog, but... Jean Dielman and La Promesse are both great films, and I'll have to check out the others.
All right. Hooray, Belgium. And then City Symphonies. So this was films that are basically iconic for having... they showcase cities... well, let me actually read it. Cities that... No, never mind. I'm not going to read it. where they utilize the urban landscape as a serene setting to survey in the impressive city symphonies seen here. So there are Man with a Movie Camera, a big one, Apropos Denise, I Am Belfast and Stockholm, My Love by Mark Cousins, and a few others. So any opinions? Are we going to move on?
I have nothing to add.
And then Johnny Toad Triad Double Feature is a new one. I've actually heard a lot about this. I've heard good things about this. It's The Mission and Vengeance, but I've not seen this or Johnny Toad. So have you guys?
I have not.
See, this is the great thing about Filmstruck is that it's introducing me to new things, but that does not make for compelling podcast conversation.
It sure does not, but I think people will suffer through it.
They better.
And the great thing about this is interactive. People can go on the Filmstruck or the Facebook group and say, hey, Johnny Toe is the best thing ever. Or Johnny Toe is a piece of crap. And hey, Jason, you're wrong about Man Bites Dog or something like that. So anyway, that's the main channel. I'd say it's a good couple weeks. If it wasn't February, I would be watching a
lot
of this.
Okay, never mind.
What?
I was reading it said Triad Double Feature. In my mind, it said Triple Feature. And there's only
you would think it would because thing. It's Triad.
Right?
I know.
They
That's some wordplay, isn't it? Yeah.
They really dropped the ball there.
No doubt.
Probably not a translation thing. I think triad is some sort of gangster term. It is. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, oh, the so. Triads. It's a, I don't know.
It could have been gangster double feature. Yeah. Come on, guys. But or double feature of triad movies. Come on. Let's work on our sentence structure there.
But yeah.
All right, so we had, and so of course, since I have not re-upped my Filmstruck, I haven't seen any of these features. There's a couple I wanted to see, but the Criterion Channel, I'll just kind of run. I'm not going to speed round. We've heard that game show music. Who gave me that game show music?
I don't know.
What was that guy thinking?
I don't know what he was thinking, but maybe he should give you more and different game
show music. I think maybe he should. I think our listeners are saying yes, nodding their heads. So, all right, double features. Okay, I know Rafifi's great. We talked about it like in five shows in a row, so I'm skipping Rafifi. His Girl Friday, I'll just toss it out there. We already talked about Howard Hawks, but what do you think about His Girl Friday?
A++. I love that movie. It's great. It's, talk about witty banter. That's all prime Patreon content in that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yes, prime Patreon. They did not need any pee breaks for that movie.
His Girl Friday. That.
Maybe that whole movie is just pee breaks while Howard Hawks was off, you know, doing his thing.
So Johnny Hawks was just grabbed the camera. Was like, all right, Carrie, go ahead.
Yeah, banter me.
You know, no, I think it's a little tightly scripted, but you never know. And then this was pretty cool. The Great Escape, which I still haven't seen, and actually I haven't seen it because Matt Gasteyer sold it pretty short. He said it was a good movie. I think when he was 12, and it has not aged very well.
I was with you on that episode. I'm still excited to see it. But
oh, you were, yeah. So this is kind of a digital spine, but it's a digital Laserdisc release. So this has not come back out on spine, but it's they're bringing back a Laserdisc. So I think that's just notable. It's the first time they've done this.
Are they advertising it as being one of their Laserdisc releases?
It's from the archives.
I mean, they don't say, it's from the, kind of like, hey, this is a Laserdisc. Watch it. So Jason, have you seen The Great Escape?
I have not. It's been on my list for a long time, and now I have no reason to not.
Well, if you have Filmstruck, you can watch it.
I do.
I actually have I blind bought the DVD before, or the Blu-ray before Matt gave me his critique, and I haven't watched it.
I've had that Blu-ray for like 4 years. Maybe that can be one of my February titles.
There you go.
Although, if you're doing February, Great Escape is only on here till the 28th, so you might have to break a rule.
Well, if he has the disc, he doesn't have to worry.
I don't.
Yeah.
I feel like I'd be breaking the rules if I watched it on Filmstruck, honestly.
Exactly.
Well, that's how I would. That's how I'm going to have to watch it.
Okay.
So because of the expiration date, I doubt that there's going to be a release of this, especially since it's probably a pretty popular studio release. I'm guessing. I don't know.
It's worth noting that the commentary's on there, too.
Yeah, that is worth noting. With Sturges, right? So the next big thing, and this is a very big thing, is we have Olympic Glory. We have a set of Olympic films. Now, this is not the entire box set. This is just a collection, but it's pretty much I wouldn't say all the notable ones, because there are some really good films in this set. But I will tell you that White Rock is in there, so start with that one. If you want to see Charles Bronson being awesome and telling you how badass ski jumping is.
Wait, is it Charles Bronson or James Coburn?
That changes things.
James Coburn.
Okay.
James Coburn, sorry.
Now I want to see a second version with Charles Bronson doing this stuff.
Well, it's a little late for that. Go look at his Wikipedia. You'll find out. All right, so I'll do the short features. So we had In the Whole Sky Fit in the Dead Cow's Eye and La Cienega. So I do like La Cienega a lot. And in fact, Martel had, I think she has a film coming out this year, doesn't she? Or she's working on a film? I don't know. Any thoughts about La Cienega?
I've not seen it yet. Again, compelling content.
All right. Well, the next one I think is going to be a little more compelling, because I think I saw one of you guys mention this. So we have Nostalgia from Hollis Frampton with Blow Up. So was it you, Jason, that watched Nostalgia?
I watched Nostalgia, and I liked it a lot more than I liked Blow Up.
Really? Wow. So Nostalgia is an experimental film where he basically just shows you a picture and then he burns it. Kind of pairs well with Gwa Pabst.
And he talks about a picture. Like, he talks about the next picture he's going to burn while he's burning one that he had just talked about.
Yeah, he's ever the playful
and
one.
And that threw me off because he's like the first one. The first one's burning, and he's talking about a metronome. There's no metronome, so I'm thinking the guy's drunk. I don't know. And it's not for like seven pictures that I was like.
Maybe true.
Well, yeah, that I remembered the metronome in the second picture that he talked about. So I really, it's hard to say on art films that I really enjoyed it. I got something out of it about burning down your memory.
Hard to describe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a series of the same image. I mean, kind of the same repeating act. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. Description is kind of bland, but it works. And I'm kind of a fan of Hollis Frampton. So, Dave, have you seen this?
No,
I know you've seen Blow Up.
I have seen Blow Up. It's good, not my favorite. The Hollis Frampton box set or DVD set, Blu-ray set, is one that I keep meaning to get. And you know what? That might be my one of my flash sale purchases because that short film sounds awesome.
Yeah. Okay.
There's another great film in that set called Carrots and Peas.
Ooh.
Oh yeah. And Zorn's Dilemma and there are a couple annoying films in that. We have to be honest. There's the one with the actors talking. The one where they keep on cutting it up. Yeah,
I didn't watch that one.
That one is very annoying. And then we have a guy that's been on the show, Jeff Smith, had a genre play in The Player, Observations on Film Art. So that was kind of a bummer that I don't have Filmstruck to see that because I like Jeff a lot, but I like The Player a lot. Were you on that episode, Dave?
No. I listened to it, but I was not on it.
Oh, okay. And then Friday Night Double Features, I See a Dark Stranger and Black Narcissus. And by the way, Black Narcissus is the background of our Patreon page, which pretty... great images in that movie. So I think you like that movie, don't you, Dave?
You know, Powell and Pressburger, you've seen one, you've seen them all. But if you want...
Jason. sorry.
No, I'll keep my thoughts to myself on that, considering we have spoken about that ad nauseum on Wrong Reel.
Yeah, and I think here, too, I think that's we've talked about that one quite a bit. And I think it's consensus is that it's pretty amazing. But Jason, are you with that consensus?
I have not watched I See a Dark Stranger. I'm interested.
I have not either. Yeah.
I absolutely love Black Narcissus.
And darkest, greatest nun movie ever. Who knew nuns could be so compelling?
Nuns on the Run.
Nothing against nuns. I'm sure they're nice people, but and then the other one was, all right, here we go again. The Front Page and His Girl Friday.
Hey,
that's you could buy that on disc. It came out last January. Mm-hmm. So that's it. Yeah, we're done. Wow. Is that it? Wow. That is it. So anything left? I guess we just kind of struck out on the Criterion Channel a little bit, didn't we?
We've seen some of those movies. We all had opinions on Black Narcissus and His Girl Friday.
All right. Well, one last thing. Have you guys seen any of the Olympic sets? Have you seen Olympia?
I've seen Olympia like years ago. I've been very slowly getting through my box set. I've only seen two films from it, but I'll get there.
Okay.
I'll get there.
There's a few.
They're good. They're good.
On the Criterion Channel that I think we need to point out, Uncle Boonmi is coming on.
Oh, yeah.
There.
Thank you.
I haven't watched it yet.
Thank you.
But it's coming. It actually started a couple of days ago. And then this kind of irritates me a little bit, but Night of the Living Dead is having like a day and date release. It's going to be on Filmstruck on the 13th. So while I'm watching
it's only $18 on Amazon, a flash sale.
I'm definitely watching that on the disc. And then on the 21st, I have not had a chance to pick up Festival or Francis Ha yet, and they're both coming on, and I'm really excited to watch those.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned a Tropical Matt. Which one did you mention? It's A Pitch of Pong, Where's Senegal? So thank you, Matt Gassire, for teaching me how to pronounce that. So we knew he was coming out. Mm-hmm. He had a grouping coming out because it was on the all the films coming out, but it didn't show up for a couple of days, so we were worried. And now, so there's Syndromes in the Century, Cemetery of Splendor, Uncle Boonmi. Is that the one you mentioned,
yeah,
Jason?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, slow cinema, very good. Mm-hmm. You guys like Where's Thetical?
I've only seen, what's the one in the World Cinema? Violence at Noon, is that the one?
No, that's Oshima.
That's Oshima.
Mysterious Object at Noon.
That's so, it. So yeah, it's you, a noon you
had,
title.
You had the time right, yeah. So it wasn't High Noon either. But, just
that. Talk about a triple feature.
They could do a Wednesday triple feature with noon films.
Noon films.
Yeah, we would be terrible programmers at Filmstruck. All right, well, let's do our famous piece of flair. So, Dave, do you have a piece of flair for me?
I do. I am going to talk about a really fun bad movie because I can. It's from a, oh my goodness, is he Danish? No, I think he's Dutch. It's a Dutch filmmaker, and he made a movie called Down, which is about a haunted elevator. And it's a remake of De Lift, which was his own film from the 80s. And I guess somebody gave him like $5 million to make a high-budget, early 2000s, terrible, wonderful film starring James from Twin Peaks and Naomi Watts. I cannot recommend this disaster more, because literally, it tries so hard to pull any amount of horror from riding in an elevator possible with late 90s, early 2000s schmaltz, and obviously European actors doing terrible American accents. If you like really good bad movies, you really cannot do much better than Down. Please check it out.
Is that the Blue Underground?
Really? Yes.
That just came out?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I have to find that. Yeah, elevators don't scare me that much.
Oh, wait till you watch this.
No, really? I will not get in another one?
It's trying to be the Jaws of elevators, and it fails so wonderfully.
That's the Jaws of elevators. They should put that on the cover. This is the Jaws of elevator movies. So I'll check that out. Yeah. Jason, do you have a piece of flair?
You sold me. I'm in for
that. In the opening scene, they talk about Ingmar Bergman.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, believe it or not.
This is tough. I had a lot of different things that I was bouncing between for my piece of flair. I'm going to have to mention AGFA. It's the American genre
Photostock?
America genre film archive. They just started a new label. Well, they're putting out Blu-rays now. And these are films. What they do is essentially buy storage units that have films in them and collect those and look for gems. And they started releasing films that they're doing new scans off of, like the last known existing copy of these things. They just two weeks ago, put out The Sword and the Claw, which is a Turkish film. It is just bananas. Ooh. From start to finish.
I'm going to have to get that.
It is great. Dave, you watched The Zodiac Killer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy, did I ever. It's that label?
Yeah.
Wow, you're right. They are called AGFA. Mm-hmm. That's weird that they use that as the name, because that is a big photo or digital production company.
They're like,
I think make like cameras and stuff and film cameras.
They are the Janus for movies you probably don't want to watch until you do.
The cover for The Sword and the Claw is amazing.
It's great.
I agree. I don't see the sword, but yeah, this is dirtiest fighting ever.
Yeah.
That's what Kung Fu Express said. I've not read the latest Kung Fu Express. So.
And the film they put out, Effects, which was made with most of Romero's troupe of like effects guys, and Tom Savini's in it and does the effects for it. It's just great. I mean, it's super low budget. It's a Midwestern film, and it made, I think it was like number 4 on my releases last year.
I think I'm buying this baby. I just pulled up the website. It's AmericanGenreFilm.com. So I'll put that in the notes as well. But yeah, wow, I'm sold.
Yeah, I am a pre-order probably until I run out of money when they put something out.
Check them out. I'm surprised I haven't heard of them because I'm so into home media. Mm-hmm. So if you don't mind, I'll go ahead and get to mine. Speaking of home media, Masters of Cinema announced their April lineup, and it's pretty amazing. It actually has Marty, which we already talked about, and it has Kiyoshi Kurosawa's Cure, which has been rumored to come out on Criterion for a long time. So, Dave, I know we talked about Pulse. I don't know if you've even seen Cure yet?
It's been not yet. It's been like number one on my Filmstruck watch list since they launched Filmstruck.
Yeah, it's been there, and I haven't seen it since for a long time, but I've been waiting, you know, because I think it's been rumored to come out on Criterion for ages, and this actually, I think, is a possible indication that we might get it, since there's obviously a good transfer out there. And then the other release is the early Hu Xiaoxian from Taiwan Cinema. So I've heard his early work is pretty good. I've heard it doesn't reach the same heights that he got in the late 80s, and then, of course, he's still working. But it has Cute Girl, The Green Grass of Home, and The Boys from Fengkui. Fengkui, is that right? Sure.
I don't know.
So
again, we're not going to correct you.
You're not up on your Taiwanese?
I'm not. I'm also very busy buying The Sword and the Claw in Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah. Are we doing this? So this has cost you how much money?
$38. It's not too bad.
Yeah.
Not 40, okay. Technically.
Given what Arrow Now costs people, I spent $80 on Arrow Now, and that was with bonus points. So, all right, guys. Well, this has been a pleasure, and thanks for the first Patreon episode.
Sure.
So, where can people find you, Dave Eves?
You can find me on Twitter because I'm there pretty much all the time. My handle is Cinema versus Dave. That is Cinema vs Dave.
And you know what? You are there all the time, and I'm not on there all the time, but Twitter knows that I like your tweets enough that sometimes I'll just get notifications that you tweeted something.
As you should. I mean, everyone should just sign up to be notified anytime I tweet.
So often when I respond to your tweets, it's because Twitter told me, hey, Dave's talking here.
It's not just because you're stalking me?
It's not because I'm stalking you. I don't know why Dave just... Well, I guess Twitter just knows that I interact. So it's like... It just, the more I do this, the more it's like, oh, he really likes Dave. I'm like, I really like Dave because you're telling me to like Dave. It's, yeah.
Twitter has good sense in telling you to like me because you should.
I like you, Dave. Aww, I really like
shucks.
You.
Shucks. Now, do you like me or do you like me?
No, I the first
just regular like. Okay.
Come on.
I like you. I mean,
well, thank you.
He's about to get married, Jason. Come on, let's not throw a wrench into this wedding. So, Jason, where can people find you on the internet?
Also on Twitter at Admiral Beamish. I'm here right now on this and Criterion Reflections. And while we are talking, our friend of the pod, Doug McCambridge, sent me a link. I recorded a short podcast for Good Times, Great Movies. And it just went live today. I talk about the Evil Dead.
All right. Well, you can find me at AWES505. You can find the show at CriterionCast.com and CriterionCast on Twitter. Listen to the podcast on the CriterionCast master feed. Go to our Patreon at patreon.com/Criterion, or Criterion Now, I believe it is. And, of course, the Facebook group. But we're just adding stuff. The Facebook group is the most fun, where you can interact with us. So now the show is over.
Yay.
Good job.